Well, hi, everybody, and welcome into this week's Clemson Athletics Podcast. I'm Don Munson. On today's show, we're going to let you hear from head football coach Dabo Swinney. Early period for National Signing Day has happened for Clemson football. Clemson once again rakes in another top-ranked class in the country. As very exciting time. Caught up with Coach Swinney yesterday. This is also part of our National Signing Day show that we had. So this conversation will come from that. But Coach Swinney will break down the signing class. He'll also talk a little bit about the upcoming game with Notre Dame. So I felt like this was a good time for us to play this as we head into the Christmas holidays and let you get a little thoughts from Coach on the guys that are going to be coming in here in 2019 and then also looking ahead to the clash with Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl. So let's get right to it. All right. So here is Coach Swinney talking about his signing class here for 2019.
This is a really, really, really special group. So I guess it was 2011. We signed, I think it was 29 guys. That was my biggest class. That was Sammy Watkins and Stephon Anthony and all that group. So this is the biggest class we've signed since then. If you think back to that group, what transpired, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, when that group as true seniors was 14, Stephon, Grady Jarrett, those guys. But then you had those fifth-year seniors, B.J. Goodson and so forth, in that 2015, that first national championship. So, man, they came here in 2011 and left an unbelievable legacy. And we've continued to sign good players, evaluate good players, and then develop those guys when they've been here. So this was a critical class to put together because you think it's the biggest senior class I've had that's leaving here, and obviously the winningest class in ACC history, and with two more wins, the winningest class in college football history. Now, wouldn't that be great for these guys to be able to finish that way? So when you got that walking out the door, you better be right on who's coming in the door. And hats off to our staff. I just thought they did an amazing job in just the whole process. So it takes a tremendous amount of teamwork to pull it all together. And right now with 26 guys, we have hit all of our needs and then some. And who knows? Maybe there'll be some more opportunity down the road to add a couple more.
You mentioned in particular, obviously, what you just said about your staff and the support staff that you have here in this building. But to have Dan Radakovich, athletic director, on your side, to have President Clements on your side, who may be the best recruiting president of anybody in the United States.
No doubt about it. If there's a better recruiting president, I want to meet him. And, President Clements is just so giving of his time. I mean, it's just amazing how he works, and he's so passionate. It's not something that he has to work at. He's passionate about Clemson and all things Clemson. So it's just when that's your leader of your university, and you can take recruits over to meet with them, and then he can articulate and complement the vision of our program specifically to go along with what he's trying to do for this university. It's a special combination.
The way that this brand has been built, too. I'm not going to ask you, did you ever imagine that this brand was going to grow this big? Because I already know what the answer
Absolutely. Is.
You know, we're just scratching the surface
exactly.
of what we're going to be.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
But when you think about the way that this, the fact that you had to go to 14 states, that you had to go yep. coast to coast and north to south. Yep. I mean, it's amazing.
It is. And it's so neat for me. It's like, I met, for example, meeting Ngata. Out there, here's a kid from California, and I'm like, what does he know about Clemson? Well, what I forget, because as we get a little older, you just kind of 5 years, 10 years is kind of like a blur. But you think an 18-year-old kid who 10 years ago was eight, and the transformation from an 8-year-old to an 18-year-old, that is the biggest change you have in your life, and his entire, life basically when he's being shaped as a football player and athlete and all that, he's been watching Clemson and he knows all about our program and he's telling me stuff. He knows our players and that was kind of eye opening to me, like, wow, our brand is that strong that people are paying attention literally all over the country, because, you know, you just kind of a little over here in Clemson and we're just kind of doing our own thing. But and we've always kind of been an inside out, and we still are. But it's kind of neat when you have people calling you that are great people, great students, great players, and they have an interest, and they want to know if you're interested. So we're like, well, let's come see us, and we'll see where we go from there. And that's kind of how it happened. So they came in, and he just loved it. I think sometimes these kids, they go all over the place, and they know when they know, and that was the case with Joseph and his family. Like I said, his brother, they've already been through it. His brother is a really good player at Washington. So they understood the recruiting process, and he understood very well what he was looking for, and this was the opportunity that he jumped on.
The other thing is, I talked with Coach Venables about this, but the way that you all work camp, you have the two high school sessions in camp, and how big both of those sessions are for you to find the next Tigers.
Oh, man, it's huge. I mean, you know, we're always, to be honest with you, we're trying to always pump the brakes and slow the process down, but we're always evaluating at an early stage because we want to be right. And, you know, for me, I mean, we've never signed a junior college player. You know, we don't go out and sign grad transfers to come in and you know, fill holes. We try to recruit from the high school ranks. And so if that's your philosophy and then you know you're committed to graduating them, and you got to be thorough and you got to do a good job. And so our camps are unbelievable opportunities for us. But it's, you know what, it's also opportunities for those players, because they get to find out more about what we're about and what the expectations, because one thing I believe in wholeheartedly is to be completely transparent in the recruiting process. I don't want anybody to come here with any false pretenses. I want everybody to know exactly what they're signing up for, who we are, what's our core values, what the standard is, what the expectations are. And so, you know, camp's a great opportunity for both sides to figure out if we're a good fit for each other. And then there's a lot of these kids. You know, Greg Williams is a guy that we would not have offered had it not been for camp. We just wouldn't, you know. I mean, he's a raw kid from down there at Swansea. They you know, hadn't had a great year. Probably not a guy that we go on. But him coming to camp, he earned that scholarship because we were able to evaluate him and what his potential is and get to know him a little bit better. Man, he's one of those. He's an interesting prospect. I mean, I'm really, really excited about him. So Grady Jarrett, we wouldn't have signed Grady Jarrett had he not come to camp. We just wouldn't have signed him. So camp is a huge confirmation on guys that we know we already like, but it's also a revelation on guys that were like, maybe we weren't going to go on. We go, whoa, because sometimes you got to put them in a different environment and a different competitive nature to have that true evaluation.
The other thing, and I'm going to turn and look, because right behind us, Paul Journey did a sit there. I don't know that people understand the importance of that part of this building for you when it comes to recruiting, the fact that you graduate at the rate that you graduate and what happens in there, not only getting them to that graduation point, but then also beyond that to make sure, as you like to say, that they are equipped with the tools for life.
Yeah, I miss everything in our program, and that's why when we built this building, I wanted Paul Journey to be the front door. I mean, it's a living, breathing space, and it's everything that's going on over there, we were doing over in the West End Zone. It was just in one person's office, Jeff Davis. And now we have a staff, and we have a space, and it's a living, breathing space. It's almost like a curriculum, and for the freshmen, for the sophomores, for the juniors, for the seniors, for the whole team. It's all encompassing, because, you know, if you can't just have a vision and state what you want to do and then not walk it out. And so we mean it. I mean, we're going to graduate our players. We want them to be equipped with the tools for life that they're going to need. We want them to have a great experience, and we want them to win, and that's the order. But the academic growth, the social development, the spiritual growth opportunities, the life skills, career networking, this is what Paul Journey does every day. And I got a staff of four that wakes up every day, and that's all they think about is how they can serve our players. And it's just an amazing, amazing job by Jeff Davis and as being the leader of Paul Journey. I'm just so proud of what he's been able to do. He's been with me for 10 years from day one. And when I hired him, I literally hired him the night I was named interim. I went, he was my neighbor. And I said, man, and I told him what my vision was. And I said, I want to create this thing over here. And I called it a player relations program at the time. And then it grew into Paul Journey. And Jeff's vision and leadership has just been amazing.
All right. Can we talk a little bit about what's coming up?
Yeah.
You know, the game here against Notre Dame. This is, you all actually have your final on-campus practice will be today, right? Later on this afternoon.
That's right.
So before you take a little break and then back here, you gather up on the 23rd and do something, a little walkthrough, and then get on a plane and head out of Dallas. So as you look at Notre Dame, what are some of the things that kind of jump off the page or jump off the screen about you about Notre Dame?
Well, they're a complete football team. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I mean, you look at some teams and you can easily see, man, that's a weakness. But this is a complete team, both sides of the ball. Best defense we've played, best defensive line we've played, really good at corner, very smart at safety. They're hardly ever out of place. That's the thing that jumps out at me. They're top 10 in the country in fewest plays of 20 yards or more. You know, they don't give up a lot of big plays. They're just very disciplined and steady. I mean, you have to out-execute them. They just don't beat themselves. That's a great compliment to them. That's how well coached they are. And then over on the offensive side, the quarterback, everything that goes through the quarterback, kind of like us. There was a change in their season, and they were undefeated when they made the change. And this kid is just taking them to another level. He's an accurate passer. He's got a great command of their passing game. He's a slippery runner. He's a way better runner than you want him to be. He's a nightmare if you don't have rushing lane integrity, you know, because he's gonna slip out and he can hurt you. And I think that's what he's done best. He's extended plays for them. He gets the ball out quick, doesn't get sacked a lot, knows exactly where to go with the ball. They compliment him with a running game. Listen, they got three backs that have really played well for him, but at number two is he missed the first four games, and so he's rushed for 1,000 yards in eight games. So you can just do the math on that. He's had quite a year for them, and they want to run the ball. And so that sets up all their RPOs and their screen game and so forth. One of the better offensive lines in the country. Two 6'5", 200, almost 230-pounders at receiver that are big bodies that do a great job with their route running and body control. The quarterback, a lot of one-play shots and back shoulder balls. But it's all coordinated very well. And same thing, they don't turn the ball over a lot. The quarterback keeps them out of negative plays. And just a really good football team. But, you know, listen, you get to the Final Four, I mean, I don't think you're going to ever turn on the tape and go, oh, they stink. This is an undefeated football team. This is really talented. We're going to play well. But we're excited about it. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, you don't win games like this if you don't win in the trenches and do the things that give you the opportunity. Take care of the ball, win the field position battle, you know, at least have a draw in special teams. You know, you got to at least have a draw there. And then you have to out-execute them. Just that simple. You got to be able to do what you do better than they do and impose your will on them. If you can do that, you got a chance to win the ball game in these type matchups.
All right. Strikeability certainly has been one of the hallmarks of your Clemson offense this year.
Yep.
You're among the best in the nation in plays over 20 yards. You are like number one in the nation, I think, in plays over 40, 50, and 60 yards so far this season. But you mentioned it there. Notre Dame defensively, they don't give that up, which to me, and you mentioned about trenches, you've got to have sustained drives against these guys.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, third down is going to be critical. You know, you can't make a living with a bunch of three and outs. And we've been the one constant for us all year is our explosiveness. We have been unbelievably explosive. We've scored more points than any team in the history of Clemson. You know, the record was that 2016 bunch. They were pretty good on offense.
Not bad.
And this team's already broken their record with maybe two games to play, hopefully. So we've been incredibly balanced. very explosive. But anytime you can run the ball the way we've run the ball, and you've got, you know, you got some guys with a pulse outside and a quarterback who can get it to them, you should be explosive. And so, because it all comes back to winning in the trenches. And our offensive line has been amazing. We're one of the few, one of the best teams in the country in fewest sacks, and fewest sacks, most in explosive plays. You know, one of the top 10 offenses in rushing and passing in the country. So it's just incredible balance. So it's an interesting matchup because they haven't given up a lot of big plays. And so, you know, obviously something's got to give there. And, you know, I don't think it'll be a 6-3 game like the last time Clemson went to the Cotton Bowl and beat Boston College, but you never know. So I think both defenses are really good, and I think both offenses are really good. So this is third downs. This is red zone opportunities. This is the game within the game, the field position. And then special teams. That's what this one will come down to.
You know, when you went through the quarterback transition, games 4, 5, and 6 basically is where all that kind of happened. You know, a lot of veteran offensive lines would not have embraced a true freshman quarterback. And to me, I think that has been the biggest key for your football team this year is the way that your veteran offensive line just kind of embraced and enveloped Trevor Lawrence. They loved up on him and they said, listen, we're going to take care of you. You've got to take care of us.
Yeah, well, I think when you make unwarranted changes, then you can have some problems. But when you make decisions that are best for the team, you don't have those issues because at the end of the day, the team wants to win. The team wants to win at the highest level, and the team knows, they know reality. So it was a tough decision for sure. I didn't make it easy, but it was definitely what we needed to do at that time. I mean, it was obvious, and everybody embraced it, and we went to work, and you know, these guys have done an amazing job. So, and I'm really proud of Trevor and how he's grown and matured, and he's not a freshman anymore. He's not a complete product yet, but he's a young, polished player that's wise beyond his years, and will be ready for this moment.
The other thing, if I'm you, and this will probably be the final thing. If I'm you, I am so pumped up to see what Christian Wilkins, what Cleveland Furl, what Dexter Lawrence, what Austin Bryant, what that whole group is going to do, because this is what those guys came back for. I mean, this is what those guys came back for, was for this opportunity that they now have facing them.
Yeah, and they didn't come back to end their season on December 29th. You know, they came back to get to the top of the mountain. And but they also have such a great respect for what it takes to get there, and they're going to have to play well. You know, that's, you don't win these games if your best players don't play at a high level. It's just simple as that. If they're not as advertised for four quarters in this game, you ain't going to win the game. So our guys understand that, and the best of the best, hey man, they take advantage and seize the moment.
Well, as you could tell, Coach, very pumped up about the new Tigers that are coming on board and very pumped up about what is to come here in the college football playoffs for his football team. And I love what he said right there at the end. He knows that his guys have to play well. He's got them focused that way. They are enjoying a little time off right now as they get to go home, enjoy a little bit of the Christmas holidays. They will report back here on campus on the 23rd, the morning of the 23rd. They'll do a light walkthrough the morning of the 23rd, and then that afternoon they'll get on a plane, head off to Dallas, and practice will begin in Dallas, actually on December the 24th, as the team will spend Christmas Eve, Christmas Day there together, and then obviously working our way to the December 29th game in the Cotton Bowl against the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Kickoff time slated for 4 o'clock, all right? Airtime for us on the Clemson Tigers network will start at 1 o'clock on that day, on Saturday, December the 29th, and then we'll work our way through everything. Win that one, off to Santa Clara, and a shot at a national championship. But you got to win one first, and let's see if we can take care of the Cotton Bowl first before we do that. And then everybody, you should be very pumped up about this signing class that Clemson has brought in, because it is an outstanding one. It is going to be another firm base for keeping Clemson right there in the upper echelon of the world of college football. Hey, don't forget, for everything Clemson Athletics. Go to the official website of Clemson Athletics, clemsontigers.com. Doesn't matter what the sport, you'll find it all right there at your fingertips. Schedules, rosters, news, stats, everything right there at clemsontigers.com. From all of us at here at the Clemson Athletic Department, we wish you and yours certainly a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everybody, and looking forward to being back with you next week. We'll check back in with you next week before the college football playoff game against Notre Dame. So we'll have a podcast for you next week as well. We'll catch up with some guys there from some players from on site and do a podcast with that as we get you ready for Clemson and Notre Dame. Happy holidays once again, everybody. Appreciate all of that you all do for Clemson Athletics. And thanks for tuning in this week's Clemson Athletics podcast. I'm Don Munson. Go Tigers.